After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for the challenge to be evangelistic, to share the gospel with everyone we meet. Lord, give us wisdom and a right heart. Help the love that you've given us to overcome our fear. And Lord, help me now, for I'm nothing without you. I pray that every member of this church would be challenged, convicted, and changed to be soul winners, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here tonight who is not 100% sure of their salvation, that tonight they would repent of their sin and trust with all their heart in Christ alone, that they would know that they know that they know they have eternal life through Jesus. And Father, we ask it all in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to know tonight that the devil wants nothing more than for this church to be cold to the condition of lost souls around us. And I promise you this, the more you get determined in your heart and mind to be a witness for Jesus, the more obstacles you will see in your path. But I just want you to know that it's too great of a task, it's too important of a matter for us to just let it go. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God and his word will keep it in front of our face day after day after day after day, that we have been saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are countless millions of others in the world today who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And though you and I individually, personally can't reach the world, that's exactly the commission he's given us as a church to reach the world with the gospel. And that means you and I do all that we can to reach others personally, and that we do all that we can to help those who are reaching others globally. Amen. Everybody with me tonight? All right. Everybody with me tonight? All right, just say amen, even if it kills you. Man. All right, listen to this. Jim Elliot said this, Father, make me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road. Make me a fork that men must turn one way or another on facing Christ in me. Now, Jim Elliot gave his life to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a young man, he died for the faith of the gospel, but his heart's desire was, God, make me a crisis man. Make me a fork in the road. When people meet me, let them see Jesus Christ in me, so that when they meet me, they must make a decision. Now, how many of us are more like mile markers on the interstate? I mean, people just pass right by us. We have no impact on their life, but he says, no, I want to be not a milepost on the road. I want to be a fork in the road. I want to be, when people come to me, they're going to have to choose whether to accept or to reject Christ. And that, friends, ought to be the desire of all of our hearts. When somebody meets me, they're going to meet Jesus, and they're going to have to choose. And when you witness to people, you're going to do that very thing when you get the opportunity to share the gospel. That's exactly what you do. You bring them to a point where they have to choose to accept the gospel or to reject the gospel. And that's a great thing for us to be, is someone who brings people to decision. I just want to challenge you with a few things this evening. Number one, we need to obey his command. Now, we understand that this is a special event in the scriptures. There were a couple of times the Lord sent out the church to go and preach the gospel. They had been given special abilities. They had been given special powers. There were some special things that they had to abide by. But I believe there's principles right here in the very opening of this passage of scripture that apply to us directly today. First of all, we need to obey his command. He said, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two. And the Lord has sent us to preach the gospel to other people. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, then said Jesus to them, speaking to his church, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, God the Father sent Jesus the Son to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. And so the same way he said, I was sent, I want you to go seek and save that which is lost. And we know the Great Commission given to us. We've got five different accounts of it. I just read one in John 20, Matthew 28, Verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And the Lord has sent us to go. And as we are going through our life as a church, we are to teach all nations. Now this word teach literally means to make disciples. Now a disciple is a follower of Christ. And I just want you to get this tonight. God does not just want us to go and share the gospel. I want to tell you, I think God brings us through steps. Now you might start out down here where you don't even think about the lost. Somewhere along the way you get a little convicted, you want to tell some people. Pretty soon you get to a place where you're willing to go out and knock doors every week. And sometimes you get to a place where if you knock on a door and you put a track in the door because nobody answers, you feel like you've done your Christian duty and you go on, your conscience is appeased. But that's not fulfilling the Great Commission. The Lord wants us to actually preach or proclaim the gospel to people and to help them to become disciples. The Lord wants us to be disciple makers. But we can't make disciples if we're not disciples ourselves. Apple trees make apples. Sheep beget sheep. And disciples beget disciples. And if we're not making disciples here at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, it's because we are not disciples ourselves. Well, listen, that's not easy for me to get up and preach to you people because I'm the pastor. If I'm not a disciple and making disciples, then certainly the church isn't going to. So it starts right here. I have to be a real disciple if I'm going to make disciples. But the reality is that's what he's called us to, teach all nations. It means to make disciples. And then after they believe, then you baptize those believers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That means they come into the church. And then once they're in the church, we teach them to observe all things that Christ has commanded. Now, he didn't just say teach all things. He said teach to observe all things. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I want to tell you my hope and prayer for our Sunday school classes and Wednesday night discipleship classes and the preaching times in this church, that we're not just telling people what the Bible says, but we are equipping people to do what the Bible says. Amen. He appointed them. He gave them a job to do. And the Lord has given his church a job to do that carries on today. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, Go ye into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And can I remind you what we talked about last week? Hell is still real. And that's what's at stake, is the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And we can't just see people. We need to see souls, eternal souls that are headed somewhere. And those that believe will be saved, and those that don't believe will be damned. They're condemned already. Just like you and I were, condemned in their unbelief. And so we've got to go and preach the gospel. By the way, if verse 16 messes you up a little bit, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Some people want to say that means you got to be baptized to be saved, but he answers the question in the very same verse. The salvation is in the belief, not in the baptism. But when you get saved, you ought to be baptized. When you get saved, you ought to get baptized. Amen. It's a new phenomenon that we have to deal with in our churches today, and I blame us as a church because I don't think we're teaching it effectively. We understand that baptism does not save us. It's the answer of a good conscience before the Lord, but it does not save your eternal soul. It does not wash away your sins. Amen. What baptism does is a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ. But listen, friend, we ought to teach it and preach it to people. When you get saved, you get baptized. If you've been born again, you ought to be baptized. Amen. It's the commandment of Scripture. It's the example of Christ. So that's what we're to do. Go and preach. Make disciples. See them baptized. See them growing in the Lord. And we ought to take that gospel to everybody. We ought to go and preach repentance and remission of sin in His name among all nations. We need to obey His command. The Lord appointed them and He sent them, and He did the very same thing for the church throughout all the ages. The church is commanded. We are appointed to go. Now I want you to get this. Every member of this church is appointed to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm glad you amen it. But we really have to live it. Don't let it pass you up tonight. He means you. He means each and every person on every pew in here tonight. Everyone. If you know Christ, if you're part of this church, each and every single one of us, all around the room, every person on every seat in the place, everyone, we are called and commanded to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He doesn't skip over anybody. He means all of us. And you heard testimony tonight of people at their house and people at work and people just going through their daily life, getting the opportunity to share the gospel with their coworkers or with other people or with people from the community. And friends, that's what it's all about. As you go, share the gospel. And so we need to obey His command. I don't know about you, but we desperately need help in doing this work. I feel the great need for help. I can't do it on my own. I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to go on my own power, and I cannot do it. But I want you to notice this. The Lord said, He appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place. Now, we understand that literally the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh sent them out ahead of Him. But I want you to know this, that we are always before the face of God. The Holy Spirit of God is in us. He's with us, empowering us. God the Father has promised to give us power. Jesus Christ said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And we have power to go and do this work. You don't have to go on your own. At the end of verse 20 in Matthew 28, he said, lo, I am with you always. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And so the power of the Holy Spirit is in the church to empower the church to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere we go. You don't have to go in your own power. You pray and you trust in His presence and in His power. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, when Paul was trying to tell the church, he said, listen, he's trying to defend himself from those who were attacking his character and what he had done in that place. And he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said, listen, I didn't just come along and try to give you some fancy words and say some neat things and just try to draw you in with a great message. He said, I came with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and I spoke to you the truth of the Word of God. And by the way, that's something all of us can do. I hate for you guys to know how long I've been preaching, because you'd think I'd be better by now. This December, it'll be 20 years. It's hard to believe, I know. Hard for me to believe. This December, it'll be 20 years, and so I've had a little bit of practice. And obviously, I didn't preach every Sunday when I first got started out. Nobody could have stood that. But for about the past 9 or 10 years, I've preached almost every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I've had a lot of practice. But I want to tell you something, guys. It's not about the practice that you get. That'll make you better. Practice anything, it'll make you better. But we're not going out in our abilities. We're not going out with our talents. We're not going out with our intelligence and our eloquence. We're going out in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you start your day, you get on your knees and say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. Lord, I want to be a witness for you. Lord, give me opportunities. Lord, make me a soul winner. Lord, give me power. Give me the words. Give me the opportunities. And you ask God to help you. And I promise you, if you do that, He will. Right. He'll give you the opportunities, and He will guide you in what to say. He'll bring scriptures back to your mind. It's an amazing thing to see or to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in somebody sharing the gospel with somebody else. It's awesome. And He gives that to each and every one of us in the church. Rely on His presence and power, and also believe his promise. I want you to look at this in our text, Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face in every city and place, whither he himself would come. Now, I don't want to make too much of this, but I just think this is awesome. The Lord sent disciples ahead to preach the gospel where Jesus would later come. And here today, you know what happens when we're faithful and we go and preach the gospel? We're leading the way for Jesus to come. Isn't that awesome? I mean, they went and they went through the communities, they preached the gospel, and Jesus said, I'm going to come through there. I'm going to be there. And that's how people received him, is because the church went and preached the gospel, so it made the way for Jesus to come. And that's exactly what we're doing today. I mean, tomorrow night we're going to get our little maps and our contact sheets, and we're going to go and we're going to knock on people's door, and we're going to say we're from Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, and we're going to try to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our whole purpose is to go ahead so that Jesus Christ himself will come to that house. That's what we're doing. Go. Go. And preach the gospel to them so that I can come to be in their house. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. Listen, they can't receive Christ if they don't hear the gospel. And they're not going to hear the gospel if we don't go tell them. And yeah, I know there's some other people in town going around sharing a message, but it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they may have a fancy little video on a tablet, but it's not the truth. They don't even know who Jesus is. Friend, if anybody's going to reach our community with the gospel, it's got to be us. Well, you think preachers are the only ones that have the gospel? No, I think there's probably some other places in town that might know what the gospel is, but I don't see them out knocking on doors. I just don't. I'm for the gospel. The true gospel of Jesus Christ. But friends, we can't sit around and depend on somebody else to get it out there. God's called us to do it. He's commanded us to do it. He's commissioned us to do it. He's empowered us to do it. And I hope that he has impassioned you to do it. We ought to believe his promise for a harvest, whether he himself would come. I just think it's an awesome thing. And I wish I could always keep it in mind, and I don't always, but every once in a while it just kind of hits me like a lightning bolt when I'm standing there witnessing to somebody, and I'm getting to share the gospel, and they're actually listening, and you can see the conviction come on their heart, and you can see the burden and their need for salvation in their heart, and you can see the hope that they get when you start to talk to them about Jesus and how he offers forgiveness of sin, everlasting life. And I'm telling you, it just hits you like a lightning bolt sometimes that what I'm doing right now is going to help this person get Jesus. And man, it's exciting. It's awesome. Man, what a joy. And that's something everyone here can experience. Do you believe that? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We sang bringing in the sheaves the other day. A young man asked me, what are sheaves? It's a good question. Sometimes we got to define our terms in our songs. I know some of you like that newer stuff. I can't understand the words. And the older stuff, some people don't know what the words mean. Right? Sheaves. What is it? It's a bundle of wheat. It's a bundle of fruit, whatever it is that they went out to harvest. It's a bundle of it. And the Lord says, if you go out and sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. If you sow the precious seed of the Word of God, you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves, multiple. See, I don't think we have a harvest problem. I think we have a sowing problem. The one prayer request Jesus Christ made was to pray for laborers. We see it right here in our text. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And I'm praying that God will raise up laborers in this church. I'm praying that God will stir up your heart, that you'll be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying that you will stop sitting in the seat of complacency and you get busy doing the Great Commission to take the gospel to our community. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Look down at your text there and just go down to verse 17. I told you this was a special occasion. These men had been empowered by the Lord to do miracles. But you see verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And so they came back and they're like, man, this is incredible. We can heal people and we can cast out demons. I mean, we speak your name, Lord, and they just run away. It's awesome. And that would be pretty awesome. Because I'm just going to tell you, I've met some people just recently that I wanted to say, whew. Amen. I mean, they were excited about it. But look at what the Lord said. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I've given you power over all these things. Nothing's going to hurt you as long as my power is with you. But listen to me. You don't need to rejoice in that. What you need to rejoice in is that your name is written down in my book in heaven. You have everlasting life and you will never, ever perish. Amen. Rejoice and be glad for the life that you've been given. Amen. And share that life with others. I want to tell you, friends, that we need to be committed. We've been appointed. We've been sent. But we need to make a commitment to obey. Now, I've learned something. I already knew it about people, but I didn't know it about us. When I say us, I mean right here, Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. We don't like commitment. I don't know why. I mean, I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd. You're here faithfully. I want to commend you, by the way. I'm so thankful. We got some young people here by their own volition got up and came to Sunday school this morning. By their own volition, they're back here tonight. You'll see them again here on Wednesday night. Praise God for that. I mean, they've made that choice. And I'm thankful for you that you've made the choice to be here. But friends, I believe that God calls us to be committed to Him. And I know you're scared to make commitments because when you make a commitment, you got to stick with it. Better to not vow a vow than to vow a vow and not pay. But I want to just tell you something. If you really believe that, you would never do anything or have anything. Did you have to sign a piece of paper to get your vehicle? Did you have to sign a piece of paper to get your house? You have to sign a piece of paper for just about anything in the world. What are you doing? You're making a commitment. Uh-oh, hold on. I think there's a problem, friends, when we're willing to make a commitment to the bank and we're not willing to make a commitment to the Lord. Listen, I'm here to challenge us. And I failed the Lord in evangelism as much or more than anybody in this room. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we ought to be committed to the cause of reaching our community with the gospel. I got that sign-up sheet out there on the table. And I'm going to challenge you again to put your name on it. I want to challenge you, those of you that are experienced, you've been soul winning for a while now, you've been out knocking doors. There's seven or eight in this church that have been faithful in it since I've been here. Some of your experience, you ought to go find somebody else in the church and say, hey, will you be my soul-winning partner? And you go and put your names down on the list. Some of you've never done it before. You're a little scared. You're a little nervous about it. That's all right. You go put your name down on the list. We'll find somebody that's experienced to go with you. We have outreach almost every week of the calendar year. I think last year we took off about 2 weeks, either for a holiday or bad weather or something. But by the grace of God, we have made a commitment to take the gospel to our community. I want to tell you something amazing. The more of us who go, the more people we can reach with the gospel. Isn't that amazing? I hope we can reach everybody. And I hope we can reach everybody in our community and we can go out. We got these huge 911 maps that give us all the way to these unknown places like Liberty and Redland Road and Bochum. It's probably spelled both ways on there. Just depends on which way you're going. But you know, there are roads and communities and places that we haven't been able to get to. By the grace of God, I hope we can get to this year. Listen, we've got a huge task before us, and we need more laborers to get into the harvest. Make a commitment. Say, preacher, I'm not putting my name on that list. I'm not going to come on Monday nights. Well, there's some other time you could go. I want to say this too, and we're going to get ready for an invitation. I'm probably going to get in trouble with you tonight, and that's okay. I've been there before. I believe this with all my heart. If you can make it to your doctor's appointments, you can make it to church. If you can make it to Walmart, you can make it on outreach. See, I don't understand it. People make it to their doctor's appointment. Who in the world wants to go to a doctor's appointment? But you'll do that, then you can be here. And if you can make it to Walmart, who in the world wants to go to Walmart? But you go. If you can do that, then you can make it on outreach. Maybe you can't. You just absolutely physically can't get out and go door to door. That's okay. That's not all we do. We have a lot of different ways that we try to get the gospel to our community. The real question is, are you willing to make a commitment? We've been appointed. We've been sent. Will you be obedient tonight? While we stand, we're going to sing. 558. Number 558. Listen, friend, we make commitments and we humble ourselves before the Lord. Would you make a commitment to Him tonight? Would you just come before Him tonight and say, Lord, I want to be committed to reaching others with the gospel. If you give me the grace, I'll go. I'll talk to my friends. I'll talk to my neighbors. I'll talk to my coworkers. Lord, by your grace, I'll go. I'll be obedient to your appointment.